Previously on the Devil's Antlers, Dr. Greenbank's house was visited by none other than nuns.
You said the Metatron? You raised him?
Oh yeah, are you familiar? You've met him then?
Yeah, I look over at Dart and then back over to them. Both had the pleasure.
They gave some surprising insight about the Metatron, and they revealed their plan to contain him.
We're trying to get Winston back. The Miracle Commission is near certifying him. He's gonna go in front of the Pope. Winston was touched by God. Mostly, you know, he would heal folks. Illnesses. One time, somebody who was paralyzed. Not always healing folks, though. We did find out that with some lead-lined boxes that, you know, you could possibly shove a person into, his powers won't work through it for some reason.
After one of the nuns went out to the car and was gone for an abnormal amount of time, Dart went to check on her with Elliot in tow.
Hey there. Winston?
I would prefer if you would use my name that I gave you.
Sure thing. I didn't know if you went by...
You are forgiven, my son.
What are you doing out here in the cold, bud?
Well, I just tore Ingrid's head off and stuffed her in the trunk.
Oh! Okay. That seems a bit extreme.
Elliot lost his final marble, and he set off to do the Metatron's bidding.
Elliot, I need you right now. Okay? And when I take the throne, you will be at my right hand.
Your right hand.
You will inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Heaven. Yes. Yes.
After the death of Nun Number One, Nun Number Two's was to follow soon.
I'm sorry. All of my questions will go to the Kingdom of Heaven.
Kingdom of Heaven. Kingdom of Heaven.
Kingdom of Heaven. I pull out the gun and I aim it at her.
You level the gun and the report just echoes out and everybody hears it. And her chest explodes all over the snow on Dr. Greenbank's porch, and she hits the ground and immediately stops moving. We need your wife, your son, and Dr. Greenbank here as soon as possible. We have a ritual to perform.
Yes. I'll get them right away.
Hospital with Nora and Hamlet after Nora had broken a leg, so Greenbank decided to check in by phoning her house, and Ronnie answered.
Hello.
Oh, Ronnie.
Greenbank, you better get somewhere safe real fast. There was shooting, and the nuns are dead. You gotta meet me somewhere.
Do you remember where the university is?
Yeah, sure.
My office.
Yeah. Your office. Alright. Go there now. I'll get there somehow.
So as our story continues, building to its exciting climax, let's hastily return to the devil's antlers.
This is Don Wilson, friends, and I certainly agree. There's no time like right now to light up a Lucky and find out firsthand what real deep-down smoking enjoyment is. First of all, LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So fine, so light, so mild, it just naturally tastes better. Be happy. Go Lucky. Enjoy Lucky Strike, the best-tasting cigarette you ever smoked.
For the taste that you like, light up the Lucky Strike right now.
Elliot, how fast are you driving?
I think he would be driving a reasonable pace, like not speeding or anything.
Okay. I mean, the conditions aren't bad. You're not super familiar with the area, so, you know, you have to pause at a few intersections because it's just hard to remember exactly where you're supposed to go, and then it will just kind of occur to you, you know, just all of a sudden just appears in your brain, oh, right, okay, yeah, we need to continue down this direction, and eventually you get onto 180 and you start driving.
Yeah, and he'd be probably pretty calm about this, this situation right now, too, because, like, under the conditions of what's going on, he 100% is in the right in this. And so, yeah, like, he's got the radio on, and, you know, he's just kind of tapping the steering wheel when he has to wait at a red light and everything.
So as you're at the light for Shore Drive and University Drive, you see Dr. Greenbank's car. And it's accelerating through the light and heading towards the university.
And it's coming, it's in the other lane of traffic, like the coming towards me?
No, it's like crossing the intersection, like you're waiting.
Oh, okay, so it's coming across my field of view, okay.
Yep.
Okay, I would notice it. Would I notice her passenger?
Roll wisdom, and you have disadvantage.
D20. Disadvantage, there's no way.
Huzzah.
Alright. Yeah, I already failed, and so, yeah, I failed.
Alright. So, you do not notice that Dr. Greenbank has a passenger, but it is definitely Dr. Greenbank in there.
Okay, if I see it and it just looks like her in there, I just beep the horn twice, like tap it, you know, lightly twice, and then, you know, kind of give a wave if she looks.
So Dr. Greenbank, you would see a very unfamiliar Ford, and somebody kind of waves at you, but you... I don't know, you could roll wisdom to see if you could tell who it is, but you definitely don't recognize the car.
She probably hears someone beeping at her, and she's like, wait, what? And she just looks at who it is. Not super hard, just to see if it's like someone she knows, so. Unfortunately, that's a pass.
Okay, you would notice that Elliot beeps his horn at you.
Yeah, and I'm smiling as I wave, too.
She'll wave back. What would she do, logically? Does she see that there's no one else in the car with him?
I mean, yeah, I would assume that you can see that the vehicle is empty.
Okay. She'll give him, like a, what? What are you doing? Just a look.
Eventually, the car behind you, like, blares its horn because you've been sort of just stopped, you know, making eye contact with Elliot at this point. Would you like to pull over, or are you going to...
She'll pull over.
Towards the... Okay.
She'll pull over.
As soon as the light turned green, I would have started going towards the hospital. I wouldn't have noticed that she had pulled
out. I 100% don't think that there are any lights in Marinette, Wisconsin in 1955. So it would have probably been a stop sign where Dr. Greenbank wouldn't have had one for the intersection. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Okay.
She would have just had the right of way.
Oh, yeah. As soon as it was my turn to go, yeah, I would have just started going then.
Dr. Greenbank, you would know that the hospital is probably the only place that Elliot could be heading, going that direction.
All right, Hamlet, change of pace, VP. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to run back into the hospital real quick, and you're going to stay in the car, okay? I just want to help catch your dad up to speed on what's going on.
You whip a U, and you don't have to even drive very fast to catch up with Elliot, because he doesn't seem to be in any hurry, and you follow him into the parking lot and pull in next to him.
Elliot!
Oh, strange meeting you here. I thought I saw you turning back before.
Yeah, I turned around just so that I could help catch you up with what's going on. So they're gonna fix her. They can fix her leg. They're just keeping her for observation overnight.
Oh, well, I mean, that's great that they fixed her. We're not gonna need any of that. All of our problems are solved. You missed it since you weren't at the house, but yeah, I gotta get her and bring her back right now.
What? No, Elliot, she needs to stay there.
Oh, no, we have to bring her and Hamlet, and then the circle can be complete. And, yeah, you just have to come by and see for yourself. Literally, a miracle has happened.
Elliot, what happened at the house?
Well, the Metatron came. He's there. And he said he's about to fix all of this. We just need to all be there.
I think that the voice of God would probably agree that Nora needs medical attention.
Oh, well, that's the next best thing. He can perform miracles. I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah, come on. You can help me get her. I'm, you know, if they plan on keeping her, I might have to, you know, kind of finesse the guards in some sort of way. Or,
no, not
the
Elliot. Guards,
but the staff. Kind of getting ahead of myself here.
Elliot, she needs to stay where she is, okay? She's perfectly fine.
Well, she needs to come with us. I mean, you know, we can't not...
We can come get her tomorrow when she's out of observation. We're going to have to come back and get her anyway.
When the voice of God sends you on a mission, you carry out that mission.
Well, if the voice of God is at my house, then I would really like it if you would listen to me for a little bit.
Maybe you should just go back and just talk to him for a bit, you know, and I can get everything done here.
Only if you come with me.
Oh, yeah, come, we can go together to see Nora and get Hamlet, too. You know, he wants everyone. Metatron does. Yeah, Ronnie and Dart are still back at the house, you know, and, you know, he wants us all to be there.
Dorothy is being very cautious here because she does not know what you're capable of right now. So she's, all right, well, here's what I think we need to do. I think that before we bring Nora into this, we need to leave her here where she's safe for a little bit, and then we can go back and talk to the Metatron. And if he's still very insistent about it, as I imagine he will be, we can come back and get her. Okay?
Well, I'm sorry, that would be failing my mission, to come back empty-handed. I mean, he was very clear on what he wanted.
You're failing your mission by asking for clarification?
Well, no, he was very clear.
Well, he wasn't clear to me, and if I'm part of this mission...
Well, you just weren't there. You could, you know, go back and talk with him right now. Oh, you could call the house. There's a payphone right there. Or the front desk might even let you use theirs without having to, you know, spare the quarter. Anyways, I need to go in and start, you know, kind of seeing what I have to deal with. I'll just be right inside.
Elliot, you can walk inside and you can go up right up to the desk, and when you tell them that...
When I go inside, I am not going up to the front desk.
Do you know where the room is?
Not yet.
Okay. All right,
God,
so you're inside and you're like walking up through the lobby, and where are you going?
At first, I'm going to go into like the emergency waiting room, and I am going to sit down and grab paper and do that sort of spy thing where you sit down and just kind of scope the place out, like looking over the top of the pages for a little bit. And I'm specifically going to be looking for like any security and like the sort of pace that nurses come by and check the front desk and stuff.
I mean, everything is pretty laid back. Like, you're in there for, you know, a solid 15, 20 minutes. There's a few people that are waiting. You can see that there's a mother and her son, and he's kind of holding his arm and kind of softly whimpering. And an older woman had been already, a nurse had come and announced her name and brought her to the back. And again, everything seems pretty relatively laid back at this point. There's no one sitting up at the front window, but every once in a while a nurse will come and sort of look around and make sure that nobody needs anything or needs to be checked in or anything like that. But it's there are decent windows to do things unnoticed, if that's what you're trying to discern.
All right, then I'm going to pick a time when like one of the nurses is going to pop back in there and start like looking through paperwork. I'm gonna use that time to walk into the hallway she just came from, where like where the rooms are and stuff. And I'm immediately gonna start looking for like a sort of equipment room, or like the room where they keep like the clothes and stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm basically looking for a doctor's coat.
I think that you, when you go through, like, you pass a nurse's station and you can easily grab a lab coat that you can throw on. Like, you see there's a stethoscope there as well, and so you kind of hang it around your neck.
And at that point, I'm going to start going room to room and looking for Nora Holloway, or if it doesn't say Holloway, look for her maiden name.
Yeah. Do you have a maiden name made up for her, or no?
No, I don't.
Rigby.
Yeah. She's just going to continue to use Holloway then, because it is a bitch to change your last name, and so she just hasn't bothered.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. She does have a maiden name. I think we went over it. It was Penephrine.
I fucking hate you. All right. But you, you go through a few rooms, and... you pass by one nurse that kind of looks at you funny for a second and then just shakes her head and keeps walking. And then you look inside of one of these rooms, and on the other side of this divider curtain in the middle, there is Nora, and she is asleep. Her leg is elevated in this sort of sling thing, and there's a large plaster cast that goes clean up to the top of her bottom of her hip.
All right. Is there a wheelchair already in here?
Yeah.
First, I'm going to look over her chart and see what drugs she's already been given. Is she on anything that would be, like, is she asleep for just being asleep, or has she been sedated, is basically what I'm looking for.
She's just asleep, it would seem, but they have administered a little bit of morphine, it would seem 2 hours ago.
I'm going to, like, it being a hospital in the 50s, I'm going to look around the room and see if there's any more morphine, like, still in the room.
It would not appear so.
All right, Nora, I'll be right back. And I'm going to go and scrounge for wherever they would keep the morphine to be able to have more for her if she should need it.
You go back to that nurse's station, and you notice that there is, like, a cart that has a, like, small lock on it, but also that there is a set of keys also just, like, sitting on the nurse's station, not far away from it.
Yeah, I'm gonna key it up.
All right. So as you're loading Nora up, I will cut back to Dr. Greenbank. What are you doing right now?
Would Elliot have been sound of mind enough to take the keys out of his car?
Oh, I don't think so.
She's gonna take his keys, and then she's going to go to the payphone and call the front desk of the emergency room.
Okay.
And she's going to call and say, as an anonymous reporter, that there is someone in there who's going to attempt to convince a patient to leave against medical advice. She's going to give him Nora's name and then hang up. And then she's going to get back in the car, still taking his keys, and drive to the university.
All right. Elliot, I think that as you are leaving the room, a nurse comes up and says, excuse me, sir, are you a relation of the patient?
Yes, I am.
Who are you to the patient, exactly?
Husband. Somewhat estranged.
Well, if you're gonna be, you know, taking her, first of all, I'm going to need to see some ID, and we're also going to need you to sign some release forms.
Oh, well, that's perfectly fine. I have it right here.
Why are you wearing a lab coat?
When I reach in to get my wallet, I actually pull out the gun.
Okay.
You should just come in here. We'll have a little chat.
She is terrified and shaking, and she goes into the room with you, and you close the door behind you. Listen. No, I'm not gonna say nothing.
Morphine time.
Oh, you're gonna jab her with some morphine?
Yep.
All right.
Lots of it.
She is protesting and trying to convince you that she's not going to tell anyone, and you just jab this needle into her chest, and you press down on the plunger,
It's okay.
She's still just, like, wide-eyed, and it doesn't take long, and she gets a little droopier and a little more lethargic, and her eyes slowly begin to close.
Well, the plans have changed a little bit. All right, come on, Nora. We gotta go somewhere. I'm just gonna take you and put you in this chair.
You get Nora into the wheelchair, and you begin to wheel her down the hallway, and you get to the emergency room doors that would lead into the waiting room, and you hear someone scream behind you.
I keep going.
And the doors swing shut behind you, and you continue to nonchalantly push this wheelchair out of the hospital and into the parking lot. So, Elliot, you would get to your vehicle and you would load up Nora and you would get in and you would go to reach to the ignition and your keys are not there.
Oh, well, sort of it's a damper on things. All right, gonna go find us another ride, Nora. Has she woken up at all or is she still asleep?
I think that at this point she's probably awake and she's a little groggy and she's like, what's going on?
Well, remember the voice of God that I told you about that I saw in my dreams?
Yeah.
Well, he's very real. I saw him in the real world at Dr. Greenbank's house. He performed a miracle in front of me. After that, he asked me to get you and Hamlet and bring you all back there. I don't know where Hamlet is.
Oh, Hamlet's with Dorothy.
Huh. I didn't see him. She must have taken him somewhere.
She was taking him to the university. She said, I think.
Oh, well, that makes things much easier. But, yeah, we're close to the end of this. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Things are going to be okay. We might be able to finally get things back to normal.
What are you talking about?
God's been putting us through a test, and we're almost passing. Soon, after this is all done, we're going to be in. We just got to get there. I fumbled around. I don't know where I put the keys. Probably left them in the room up there, but things are a little bit crazy. We're going to get another car.
Where did you get this car?
It was part of the miracle. It was given to me.
Oh.
We'll just wheel you around here. I'm sorry that it's so cold. And I'm gonna wheel her around to the side with the like sort of overhang where they had the ambulances. And I'm going to see if there's one with keys in it.
Okay. So we cut back to Ronnie and Dart.
No, you can keep. We'll just skip this episode. Don't worry about it.
It's fine.
We're just playing canasta with the Metatron. It's fine.
The Metatron has been diligently. He went down into the basement and he grabbed a bucket of paint. And he has been diligently painting this design on Dr. Greenbank's living room floor, which I'm sure she is going to be just tickled about.
It's just one of those S's that you draw in school.
No, it's a large polygonal geometric shape.
Mr. Wagner, sir.
You will address me as the Metatron.
Yeah, Mr. Metatron. Listen, I gotta go.
You are not going anywhere, okay?
Well, you see, I had an important meeting scheduled back at the... I got someone waiting for me.
You don't understand, okay? Elliot, he will serve as protection for anyone near him, but the Wendigos are feasting tonight. If you leave this circle, you will die.
I don't want that. No, that's fine. I'm fine. I'll stay here. I do want to make just a quick phone call. That's all I need to do is just make a quick phone call, let him know I'm not coming. So I'll just pop over and just make that phone call right now. Real quick. I'll come back.
Actually, that brings up a point I wanted to ask you about there, Mr. Metatron. Elliot kind of makes sense, you know, and Dr. Greenbank, they both seem to have some sort of previous knowledge about stuff like this, but why are, if you don't mind me asking, why are you helping Ronnie and myself? We've both kind of just been along for the ride.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I am just trying to help my neighbors out, is all.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Before everyone gets back here with the kid and all, I'm gonna go bury that nun in the snow. You know, just so the kid doesn't see it and stuff. He's been traumatized enough, I think.
That would be so very helpful, Dart. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Hello. Operator, can you hear me? I'm looking for University of Wisconsin Marinette. On the double.
Hold, please.
Come on, pick up.
Dr. Greenbank, you have arrived in this parking lot and things appear to have been cleaned up a little bit from when you were here last. But there's still a very large hole in the front of the school. As you go inside, there is a lot of plastic put up in various areas to kind of cover up some windows and things like that. But there really just is not a whole lot that they can do about this front entrance until they get a construction crew over here. And so it's just open, and there's a decent snowdrift in there, and you would also notice that there are very fresh tracks, and they are mildly humanoid with long claws on them, and they're going inside of the university.
These tracks look like the ones that were at the Four Seasons.
They do.
Nope. Fuck out of there. Absolutely not. Nope. Turn around, kid. We're getting back in the car.
As you turn around and you start marching your way back there, you're clomping through the snow and you can hear every bit of snow crunching, and then just a telephone rings from inside of the office behind you. And it rings, and you hear this loud, otherworldly screech come, and it echoes from inside of the building, and you grab on the Hamlet, and you pick up the pace to the car, and you don't even turn around to look and see if it's coming, and you get inside of your vehicle and turn it on. Where are you going?
There. Back to the house, I guess. There's nowhere else for it to go.
So Elliot, as you are pulling into the university, you would see Dr. Greenbank's car leave, and it would stop at the stop sign, and then it would turn down Shore Drive towards Dr. Greenbank's home.
I'm gonna follow, but with some distance.
We're going to cut back to Ronnie. You get nothing. Like, this just rings and rings and rings.
I'll hang up and sheepishly walk back to the living room and say, guess they haven't arrived yet. Might try again later, but I guess we got some time to kill. So, what are you doing there? Do I recognize the symbol from the basement, or is it a different one?
It is a different symbol. But did you look inside of the book that outlined the ritual that Dr. Greenbank had, or no?
No.
Okay, then you would not recognize it.
What are you doing there? Some sort of artwork?
We're doing a ritual.
Ritual. Hey, I heard a kind of a rumor, sir, that you painted the thing. You know, the one down in the basement.
I did.
Yeah, was that protecting us from the Wendigos too?
They cannot pass the seal.
Yeah, but you got two different ones, so there's, what, two different kind of Wendigos, or?
This is not to protect so much as to travel.
Hey, I apologize if I'm a little bit rattled, but you did a bit of a number on those nuns there. Guess you didn't take too kindly to them, huh?
There is literally an entire hotel being slaughtered by these creatures at the moment. We have no time for these nuns to try and put me in a box.
Maybe you should have explained that to them, but I... Not that I would tell you how to do your business. You know, just keep on painting. Hey, where did Doc go? Vandermeek.
He's outside.
Oh. I could use a smoke. You know, the doctor, she doesn't like me doing in the house. You don't mind, right? If I step outside as well, just gonna have a puff.
Be careful you don't cross the radius.
Wouldn't think of it. Wouldn't think of it. All right. I'll be back.
I'm gonna hastily make my way outside and say,
Vandermeek!
Yeah? What's up, Ronnie?
Vandermeek, what the hell is going on? What are we gonna do? We gotta get out of here.
I think at this point, Dart is just finishing putting snow over these bodies, and you would see Dr. Greenbank's car pull into the driveway.
What the hell is she doing here? I just tried phoning her at the university.
And not much longer after that, you would see an ambulance also pull up into the driveway, and you are pretty sure that not long after the ambulance parks, that you see something darting in between the trees, and it stays behind the perimeter that you've seen, you know, where you found the tracks patrolling, but you're positive that there's something out there in the woods right now, watching, waiting.
I will be approaching Greenbank's car.
Dart is just standing there staring at the mound of snow.
She is white as a sheet. She's not even keeping up the pretense of everything being okay anymore.
Does she step out?
Yes.
Greenbank! I'm going to embrace her and say in her ear,
what the fuck are you doing here? I told you to go to the university.
She's going to hug him back, and she's going to say, there's a Wendigo there.
There's something even worse here.
I wasn't going to let me and a 5-year-old boy be Wendigo Chow. I would not have it. I know that this place is guarded against them.
Well, he's in there right now, painting something for a ritual. So have fun. And don't say I didn't warn you.
I know, and I appreciate it, but there's nothing I could have done.
Alright, well, what are you gonna do with the boy? He can't go in there. It's a mess. You got a place he can stay? Some sort of room you can stash him in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't let him see the living room.
I'll let go of her, and I'm gonna go start walking towards the hospital. The ambulance.
Already, Elliot had gotten out and is going around to the back and opening the door to get Nora out.
Hiya, buddy.
Oh, Ronnie, hey.
I see you brought back the cripple.
Yes, well, you know, all states are temporary.
You feeling all right?
Yes, I've... Honestly, I've never felt better. Once the truth was revealed to me, everything made so much sense. Not just about my life, but about just the way the universe works. So many problems that we had.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. I was just gonna say, that friend of yours is in there painting a new symbol on the floor, and he could probably use your help. I can tend to Nora and get her in a safe place, and you can go help him.
Oh, Balderdash, I can manage to wheel her in there. It's not that hard.
I know. But you want to be a good servant, right? Yeah, the Wendigos are coming. That's what he said.
Well, they're kept at bay by the seal.
Yeah, it's not done yet. Sooner the better. He could really use your help. I'll take it. Don't worry about it.
My mission was to bring her in here. So, yeah. I mean, you can help me get her wheelchair up the stairs. I mean,
sure. Yep.
I guess we're gonna wheel her up the stairs.
Oh, Hamlet, hey. How you doing, sport?
Okay, I guess.
Did you have a good time riding with Aunt Dorothy?
Yeah. There was this scary noise at the university, though.
Oh, no. Yeah, stay away from those scary noises. Yeah, let's get inside.
Okay. He'll kind of look at you for a second, Dorothy, and shrug his shoulders and grab onto his dad's hand and walk inside.
Well, I'm grabbing the wheelchair, but we're all sort of heading that direction.
Okay, yeah, he's going to just kind of tag behind you then.
Yeah, and once we get to the stairs, I would have kind of turned around and start to pull it up, and hopefully Ronnie's going to help with that feet part.
Yeah, I'm looking back. What's happening with the boy? He's not coming in, right?
No, he seems to be following y'all in. Dr. Greenbank, you would notice that Dart is... There's like 5 or 6 cigarettes at Dart's foot. And he is just staring at this mound of snow on the side of your house. And he's just... Every once in a while, you'll see him pull out a lighter and he'll light a new cigarette, but he doesn't move and his eyes don't blink very often.
Dart.
Hey there, Dr. D. How you doing? Rough time at the university, I hear.
Yep, just a little bit. Come on.
Yep.
As soon as Ronnie gets this wheelchair through the door, he's going to try and shut it behind him.
Yeah, you can easily shut a door in a child's face and
I do that.
Yeah, you can,
wow. I'm gonna watch everything unfold as I like lean up against this door and try to brace myself from it opening.
Hey, Ronnie, what are you doing? Come on, stop playing around. Let my son in.
Yeah. Oh no, Greenbank has taken him to his room. She has a particular place for him so he doesn't disturb us while we're working.
Well, the rooms are in here.
Nope. Not this room. Special room for kids.
Are you talking about the cellar?
No. Anyway, how's she doing? How's your wife? She's looking,
Ronnie.
Hmm? What?
Get out of the way of the door, please. It's cold outside.
Wow, we gotta move the wheelchair.
Yeah, I'm going to shuffle around the wheelchair and try to get to the door.
Oh.
I'm gonna try and get between the door and him. And I'm gonna say,
okay, we can get her in here. Where are we gonna put her here?
No, Ronnie, please. And I'm going to start pushing harder against him.
Ronnie, you would notice that the Metatron is now standing next to Elliot. He says, Ronnie.
Jesus Christ.
Ronnie, language.
Remove yourself from the door. This very instant.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure. Not a lot of room here in this front entrance, but we'll just move her wheelchair up forward here.
The Metatron just very gently picks it up and sets the wheelchair and Nora to the side, and He does it with his left hand, obviously, because he only has that one. And then with his left hand, after you kind of scooch past him, he will open the door and he'll look down at Hamlet and he'll say, "How are you today, young man?" And the kid kind of, you know, looks shy and he says, I understand. I need you to come and see. Come and see what me and your daddy are gonna, well, we're gonna do. We're gonna save this county. Maybe even the nation. Daddy's gonna be a hero. Come and see." And he holds out his hand and Hamlet places his in the Metatron's hand and the Metatron leads him in and leads him over to one of the chairs at the kitchen table and picks him up and sets him down onto the chair and then he walks over to the doorway and he says, "D'Artagnan, Dr. Greenbank, could you come inside, please?"
Dorothy is going to reach back and take Dart's hand.
When she does so, Dart kind of snaps back to his senses and flicks whatever's left of his cigarette onto the mound of snow, and she goes, "All right, here we go, Dan."
As Greenbank crosses the threshold, Ronnie says, "You're really bad at following orders."
And speaking of that, I have a question. So once everybody enters the house, technically Elliot's task is completed. Does his state of mind change at all?
Why don't you make me a sanity check? You won't take any damage if you fail, but...
That's definitely a fail.
Yeah, no, I don't think that your mental state changes at all.
Okay, yeah, that was a... I have to roll under a 6 now. And I rolled a 17.
Whew.
Dare I use a luck point to try it?
You can if you want.
It would bring it down to a 5 after that. You know what? Fortune favors the bold. I'm using a luck point. I'm going to try and re-roll this.
All right.
Does fortune favor the bold?
Not in our games.
Fortune favors the bold, but it doesn't favor the Chris.
It was a 16.
Oh, fuck.
God damn it.
Hey, I tried to give us an out here.
I'm so done with this game, dude. Fuck this game.
Oh my god.
We need to perform the ritual, and where you're going, well, it isn't a place that I can go. That's why I need y'all. And when you finish, I will be gone from your life like a dream.
Ronnie tugs on Greenbank's sleeve again. He doesn't even say anything. It's just his form of complaining to the only other sane person in the room.
She'll reach over and take his hand, too.
Elliot just has a huge, grin on his face, that he's, really accomplished something very good, and that this is going to solve everything.
The problem with the Wendigo is you can't kill them here. You have to cross over and kill their soul there. You've already visited pockets before, Elliot and Dorothy, but this is gonna be the whole thing. So it's going to require a little better catalyst than sleeping. I'm going to need for 4 of you to get into the cardinal directions on this here symbol I drew. And I'll need you to drown yourselves.
Every night you hear her croon, a Russian lullaby.
The Devil's Antlers is a production by the Time to Die Podcast Network. Our links, our credits, and other shows are all available at timetodierpg.com. If you like this ukulele music, visit charlottepelgian.com, where you can get her entire original album. She also has many old-timey covers available on her YouTube channel. Our cast was Tim DeMuse, Chris Riley, Aubrey Gray, Eric Pat, and I'm Brian Bridges. You can find our character roles and social media links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of The Devil's Antlers.
And a Russian lullaby.
Cummy one, cummy two, daddy coming for you.
Shut the fuck up, Brian. Shut the fuck up.
The fucking worst, dude. Holy fuck.
I like to rally the team together before we start. Even if it's against me.
Bro, never again. Because I am killing your character. Like, I have to.
So you're turning me and Tim against you, but then Tim is going to turn me against him. So... cool. I'm facing it on both sides. Fuck you for that, Brian. Fuck you.